Romans chapter number 1. I know that a lot of times when you go to Bible college, you aren't really sure what the future is going to hold. Some have some clarity from God on the direction He's moving you. Some, you know, you're still searching. And I would hope and pray that everyone would at least ask God about allowing them to go to the mission field. Amen. I know God does not call everybody to the mission field, but I'll tell you what, He does call some. And He will continue to call some. We just need to make ourselves available and allow the leading of God. And I hope that you'd all at least ask God if He'd allow you to do it and get some clarity from God. Let me encourage you, if you have ever the opportunity, to take a missions trip. Whether you go to the mission field or not, the Christian life is all about missions. And it'd be good to have a good understanding. It'd be good to have some personal knowledge. And I really encourage everybody, if at all possible, to take a missions trip somewhere in the world. And I'm a little biased to Africa, if you didn't know that, all right? I think it's the best place to take a missions trip. So let me give a little plug into Africa. If anybody ever wanted to visit Kenya or Africa, yeah, we would be more than happy to try to make that happen. We have so much going on in Kenya. We have works in major cities. Where we live, it's a city of 500,000 people. And so it's a city work. Our church is a city church, and so it's a lot different than a village church. There's more education, obviously more jobs, a larger attendance, more ministries. We also have works out in the villages, you know, amongst people who live in some of the most amazing poverty that you could ever experience. And life is different in the villages. Amongst different tribal groups, we have 42 tribes in Kenya. Every tribe has their unique personality or unique culture. And we have churches that are mixed tribes. Our church in the city is a mixed tribal church. We have people from many different tribes, which brings some unique perspective and unique opportunities, but also unique problems. We also have some churches amongst distinct tribal groups where only people in that area are a certain tribe. And even sometimes in those areas, things must be done in a local mother tongue, tribal language in Kenya. But also surrounding Kenya, we have some countries with some amazing opportunities. Countries where some of them are open for missionaries, but missionaries are not going there for different reasons. And one of the reasons is because they're difficult areas because of some of the things that have happened in those countries. Surrounding Kenya are some of these countries, Somalia. Now, we couldn't take you into Somalia. They wouldn't allow that. It's 100% Islamic. They are very anti-Christianity. But we could take you to the refugee camp where there's tens of thousands of Somalians and get a good taste of that. Ethiopia. I've been preaching in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, and other areas in Ethiopia, a country that not a lot of missions work is being done in. There's a lot of history there, but open to the gospel. South Sudan, the newest country in the world, open to missions. They speak a bit of English there. Amazing opportunities there. Rwanda. What a country that has some opportunities, Rwanda. If you know a little bit of African history and the Rwandan genocide that took place 25 years ago, a million people killed in 100 days. I've been to Rwanda probably 30 times, and there's a genocide museum in the capital city of Kigali that I take people to often that is heart-wrenching what they have in that genocide museum. And you see and understand what happened in the slaughtering of people only because of their tribal identity. And Rwandan people are a haunted people because of what happened. There are no independent Baptist missionaries in Rwanda right now. The only one that I knew that was there has left, and some great opportunities in Rwanda to preach the gospel and to see churches started. Burundi, which borders Rwanda, is much like Rwanda, same people groups. They've had two periods of genocide in Rwanda. If you study the history of the Rwandan genocide, it actually started in Burundi in the 70s in the first genocide, and people went up to Rwanda and things went from there. Amazing opportunities in Rwanda. There's no independent Baptist missionary in Burundi from the Western world. We have somebody there from our church in Kenya, and we've seen five churches started in Burundi. But I'm telling you, an amazing opportunity in a country where literally hardly anything is being done. And then the Democratic Republic of Congo, a large country, the size of the United States from the Mississippi River east, landmass-wise. And if you have studied a bit about the Congo and the things that have gone on there and the wars and the difficulties, but I'm telling you, people want the gospel there. They just need somebody to take it. And so there's a lot of opportunities, not only in Kenya, but around Kenya, that places to visit and allow God to work on your heart. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, "My eye hath affected my heart." And there's a lot of truth to that. So, again, let me put a little bit of plug in for Africa and missions. I know there's over 50 countries in Africa. Okay, I get that. But if we could ever be a help to anybody in that area, you can just get in contact with us, and we'll be happy to make that happen. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's read that one more time. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let us pray. Father, as we look at this verse for a few moments this morning, talk a little bit about faith, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to understanding. Lord, may we truly be a people of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All of us would acknowledge the value of faith in our life. We know the Bible has much to say about faith. Throughout the pages of the Bible, you find verses and illustrations and principles and precepts regarding faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Do you grasp that phrase? We all want to please God. I hope, right? I mean, I don't know why we'd even be here this morning if we did not have the desire to please God. And sometimes we make lists and we think we must do this and that and have this standard or have that principle and this thing in our right, in our life right to please God. And certainly there's an importance on all of those things. But right here you have a verse that tells you that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you can have all these other things right in your life, all these good things, but if you're not a person of faith, then you are not pleasing God. And I think it's important. In my life, as I've been in the Lord's work and serving in Africa and such, this idea of faith and this idea of what the Bible says about that has become more important in my life the older that I get. As I get more of an understanding, I wish that I knew back when I sat where you sat what I've understood today. I would have not made some of the mistakes I've made, or God would have been able to use me in much different ways. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Mark 11:22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." Mark 9:23, "Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we could go on and literally read dozens and dozens and dozens of verses that are talking about faith. Even the quote-unquote religious world in whole, they have many sayings about faith. And I understand that sometimes, you know, people have sayings and that's all they are. They're just sayings and they don't ever apply them to their life. But I think we've all seen, you know, in Christian bookstores or hanging on walls and homes and stuff, little sayings about faith. They get that because the Bible is full of faith. Our problem is not that we question the value of faith. It is the acquiring of faith that we struggle with. In this verse that we read, Romans 1:17, there's a phrase that says, from faith to faith. I want to draw your attention this morning. That first faith in Romans 1:17 is speaking primarily of saving faith. That faith that you must have in your life in Jesus Christ in order to receive salvation. We know what the Bible says, for we're saved, what? By grace through faith. Without faith, you do not have salvation. And so when you read Romans 1:17, it says from faith to faith. Okay, you've got to understand what this is talking about here. That first word is talking about salvation. I hope and believe and trust that everybody in this room today has been saved. I don't know that. Okay? I hope so. But I do know that I sat in church for a number of years pretending to be saved. And I was not. I mean, for 7 years I pretended. I told everybody I was saved. They thought I was saved. My parents thought I was saved. Everybody thought. But inside I knew I wasn't. And I wasn't for 7 years. Maybe there could be somebody like that here. I don't know. I hope that if there is somebody here that is not saved, that you don't keep putting that off. Faith. We need faith to be saved. Without it, there is no salvation. You understand, salvation is not some words that we say, that we repeat. I understand of putting to voice what we're thinking and that type of thing. But there's no magical formula of words or this. It's faith. Faith in God and what Jesus did for us and the sacrifice. And I know we understand that this morning. That faith, that first word, is talking primarily of that saving faith. But there is another word there. Faith. From faith to faith. It's not speaking about salvation a second time. Alright? It's not talking about salvation being a process. You understand, salvation is not a process, it's an instantaneous event. You are saved in an instant. That's one of the problems in the Swahili Bible that we deal with, is in many places it makes salvation look like a process. And salvation is not a process. So when it's talking here faith to faith, it's not talking about, you know, how you get a little faith one day, you know, and it starts saving you until finally somewhere along the line you get the whole thing. You're saved instantaneously through Jesus Christ. But that second word, faith, that we find here, is primarily speaking about a living faith. Our faith in God as we live through the Christian life. A growing faith. Sometimes we refer to my faith. What we believe. What we practice. What we go into. This grows in our life from the moment of salvation. Salvation by faith, immediately. But I hope after being saved for, let's see, I've been saved for 43 years now. I hope after 43 years that my faith, my living faith, has grown to be much greater than it was at the moment of salvation. Now, sometimes that doesn't happen in people's life. Sometimes they get saved and there has been no growth. Okay? Now, that's not natural. Do we understand that? It's not natural for a baby to be born and not to grow. It's natural for us to be saved and to grow. All right? Yes, we grow at different rates and we grow, you know, at different speeds, but there is growth there. And so the Bible says in Romans 1:17, from faith to faith. Now, let me tell you something. I hope you understand this. Every saved person needs living faith. If you don't have living faith, you will not make it in this life. When you go into the ministry, whatever capacity that is, whether it's a what we call full-time ministry or not, or whether your husband is in the ministry and you're standing by his side, whatever it might be, every believer must have living faith. So I wonder this morning if we have this living faith that we read about in Romans 1:17. Have we gone from our faith in Jesus to save us and allowed that faith then to begin to grow in our life to where now it is manifested in our life? We know how faithful God is to us. And in return, we are to be faithful to God. Every one of us. God will never fail you. Never will. But sometimes we live our life like God will fail us. I tell our people in Kenya all the time when we're going through different things, listen, you have trusted God to save you and take you to heaven. You don't think He can take care of this other thing here? You believe, you tell me, when I die, I'm going to heaven, and you tell me you have no doubt. But yet this little thing, this thing that you're talking about over here, you don't think that God in turn can take care of that? See, the reason we doubt that other thing is because of this growing faith, this living faith that has not grown in our life as it ought to. I want to give you some simple points this morning about faith, this growing faith, this living faith, what it is. These are not original to me, but every one of these things I have seen and I have learned in my life in the ministry in Africa. And we try to teach these things to our people. And I think it would be good for every one of you here this morning to take note of these things and understand what faith really is, what living faith really is, what growing faith really is. Number one, faith is believing when I don't see it. Faith is believing when I don't see it. Back in Genesis chapter number 6, in those chapters around there in Genesis, God told Noah to build an ark, to build a boat. God told Noah to put his family on that boat. And God told Noah to put the animals on that boat. And God told Noah it was going to rain. It was going to storm. And God told Noah he was going to do this. But Noah hadn't seen any of that stuff. And he didn't know what rain was. He didn't understand any of that. He just understood that God said to do it. And true faith does not see first and then believe. True faith, true living faith, believes even before you see it. And I'm telling you, listen, there's going to be times in your life when God asks of you something, God leads in a way, you come to an understanding of the principle of the Word of God, and you're just not going to see it. And you're not going to understand how it's going to happen. But see, if you have faith, you don't need to see it. If you have faith, listen, living faith, growing faith, faith in the one who has given you salvation. If you have that faith, you believe it even when you don't see it. And there has been so many times in my life I didn't see anything. And I didn't see any good outcome. But I just knew this is what God expected. And every time, listen to me, every time God never failed me. Never failed me. And He'll never fail you. God, listen, God will never fail you. I have failed God, but He has never failed me. I want a living faith. And that means that I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to have to believe God even when I don't see it. Secondly, faith is obeying even when I don't understand. Faith is obeying even when I don't understand. God had finally told Abraham that his promised son was coming. And Abraham had that son. A miracle. We know the story. But that son, Isaac, began to grow. And then God told Abraham to do something strange in Genesis 22. He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son now, and I want to take him up to this Mount Moriah here. And he said, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. Now, I promise you, Abraham did not understand that. There's no way Abraham could understand that. After all that God did and the miracle that came even for Isaac to be born, and the promises that Abraham knew that God had made, there's no way he understood that. But you don't find out what Abraham did. He obeyed God. He took Isaac and he took him up there. And he was willing to sacrifice. Even in the midst of sacrificing, even in the midst of Isaac lying on that altar and not understanding why God was having him do it, Abraham did understand that God's plan still was going to come forth. Because he said that to his son. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. But Abraham obeyed God even when he didn't see it because he had a living faith. Sometimes you're just not going to see something. There's been so many times in my life, I just didn't see it. Then, years later, things have a clearer picture and understanding. But at the time, I did not understand why. But see, if we have a living faith, you don't have to understand. You just do it. You don't have to have the reason behind it. You don't have to have a full comprehension. But because you have a living faith, a growing faith that is growing and living day by day as circumstances come to you in your life, the things that you don't see, by faith you'll do them because of a growing faith. Obey when I don't understand it. Number three. Faith is giving even when I don't have it. There was a famine. And Elijah, the prophet of God, asked that widow of Zarephath to use up her last supply of food. That was all she had. After she used that food, she had nothing left. She couldn't run down to Walmart. She couldn't take out the credit card. She couldn't go to the bank. She couldn't find a family member. She couldn't go to the pastor. It was it. When that food was gone, there was no hope of replenishing it. Yet the prophet, the man of God, came and said to her, I'm hungry. Please make me something to eat. She had faith. She didn't understand. Why would the prophet do this? Why would God ask him to do it? But because she had faith, she gave it. And she had nothing left. Sometimes in our Christian life, you know, it may not even be a monetary thing. It may just be our effort and our desires and helping somebody. And it's like we've given everything we have. We have nothing else left to give. You see, a growing faith, a living faith, that's the way it will be. Many times in Africa, amongst the giving of the people, we've witnessed this and understood this and taught our people. Listen, many times I've seen people literally give the last that they have. Not knowing what's the next day is going to hold. But see, when we have a living faith, when we have a growing faith, when it comes to our giving, our giving's not going to be based upon what we have left. Our giving's going to be based upon what God wants us to do. That's a living faith. A growing faith. Number four. The faith is continuing even when I don't feel like it. Have you ever felt like quitting? Well, if you haven't, you will. Believe me. There's going to be some circumstances you come in your life and you're just going to feel, you know what? It's just not worth the effort anymore. It's just not worth continuing. It's not worth persisting. I think of Moses as he led those hard-hearted people through the wilderness. Stubborn, stiff-necked people. You know, there's a time that Moses messed up, and God even told Moses, you know what, Moses? You're not going to be able to go into the promised land. But you know what Moses did? He just continued. He didn't quit. He didn't step back and say, you know what? It's these people's fault. Man, if they wouldn't have been so stiff-necked and stubborn and caused me to lose my anger and all of that and throw all of his righteous anger towards those people. Moses did not do that. Moses continued leading those people and preparing those people, handing the reins over to Joshua so that he could lead them in the promised land. The best Moses could do is look from the mountain down into the land. But he continued. I'm sure there were days he didn't feel like it. Those days are coming in your life. When you just don't feel like continuing. Man, let me stop this. Let me do something else. This isn't worth it. But if you have a living faith, if you have a growing faith, if your faith is going from faith to faith, then you're just going to continue because you know that's what God wants you to do. Number five, faith is thanking God even before you receive it. You know, we who are saved ought to be the most thankful people in the world. We have so much to be thankful for. And listen, and let me encourage you, anytime something good happens to you or somebody blesses you, man, you give them thanks. But see, in the Christian life, in this life that we're living by faith, step by step, growing faith, living faith, our attitude towards God should always be thankfulness. Even before we receive what we're looking for. We're quick to be thankful after we receive it, but what about before we receive it? King Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, and the people asked for God's help in dealing with the invading armies of the Moabites and Ammonites. God instructed them to do something strange. God told them to form a choir and put the choir in front of the army as they marched to battle. Get what they were supposed to do. They were going to fight a war. And normally when you fought a war, the army would go first. Okay, if other people were following to clean up or whatever, they'd wait until the battle was over. But that's not the instructions that God gave. God said put the army in the back and put the choir in the front. It's all backwards. Nobody in their right mind would think such a thing would work. But that's what God told them to do. So they put a choir in the front. And they were to sing while they were marching. They were to sing, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." Imagine that. But they did it. And when they got to the battlefield, you know what they found? They found that the soldiers were already dead. God had went on ahead of them and took care of it. They had a living faith. They had a growing faith characterized by them singing praises and thankfulness to God even before He answered what they wanted. We need that. See, we can get so discouraged, and I can get discouraged too, but you know how we can encourage ourselves? By stepping back and thanking God and having praise to God. Because if we're not careful, that sin of discouragement, I believe discouragement's a sin. You can allow discouragement to get in your life to where it's just plain sin. And the Bible tells us, commands us, don't be dismayed. All right? And we can allow discouragement. Man, when discouragement comes in, I'm telling you, discouragement causes all kinds of problems. When you're discouraged, you'll see things that are not there. That's why the Israelites, when they were going to go into the promised land back in the day and they didn't go, they were discouraged and they said, you know what? They said, the people were like grasshoppers in their sight. I mean, okay, I know there are some tall people there, but imagine a grasshopper compared. They were seeing things that were not there. That's what you do when you're discouraged. You hear things that aren't there. All of these things. And listen, one of the cures of discouragement is just go back to God and be thankful. And that thankfulness, man, God does something in your life about that. A growing faith, a living faith. Number six, let me give you this one before our time is up. Faith is trusting God. Even if I don't get what I'm looking for. Faith is trusting God even if you don't get what you're looking for. You know, sometimes in life, we don't get what we want. I think you know that. Sometimes in life, God's timing is not our timing. But if we are faithful people, if our faith has moved from saving faith through that process of growing and living faith, those times in our life when we're not getting what we think we should already have, or what we want, or what we desire, we still trust. And we still believe. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm telling you, if you have never studied Hebrews chapter 11, you need to. I cannot read Hebrews chapter 11 without a thrill going up my spine. It has to be one of the great chapters of the Bible. A chapter about faith. A chapter about the kind of faith that I'm speaking to you about. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's begin reading verse number 1. Listen to these words as we read. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, which Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looketh for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and of him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. By now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain in the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Do you see what that said there? They did all of this by faith, believing, but they never saw the promise. They never saw what we saw, what we have seen. Jesus, they never saw Him come. They did it all by faith. They trusted, and they never got what they were looking for. But do you understand the one thing that they all had? They all had living faith. They all had trusting faith. What we read in Hebrews 11 is not about saving faith. They had a living faith. And the Bible says the world didn't even deserve to have them walk amongst them. Some of these people, you don't even know their names. Their names are not recorded, but they're great men and women of faith. Listen, the world may never know what you do for Christ, but they don't need to know. Other Christians may never know your sacrifice. They may never know what you have gone through. But they don't need to know, because you're not doing it for the world or other Christians. You're doing it for Him. Because you have put your faith in Him to save you. And because you put your faith in Him to save you, that faith now grows in your life to allow you to live for Him. So some of these things you may never see. You may never experience. But because of faith, you just continue. In the year 2020, we need that kind of faith more than we've ever needed it. We don't know what the future holds. But I have faith in who holds the future. And I must live by faith. If you are ever going to go through life serving God, you must have a living faith. You must have a growing faith. Let us pray. Father, be with this invitation time. Lord, if you've spoken to our hearts this morning, may we speak to you about it. May we be a people of faith. Thank you for your salvation. But Lord, may that salvation be evident in our life by the faith that we have in you as we walk and live day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? As the piano plays, if you need to.